But dear parishioners, we are told in today's epistle to rejoice. And not only to rejoice, but to rejoice always. And that is what we do on this rose-colored Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, just as we do during that one Sunday in Lent where we also wear rose-colored vestments. But there's another part of the sentence that upon which I would like to focus, and that is where St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. He's not saying to rejoice in wealth, in fame, in health, in prosperity. He's not saying rejoice because you're meeting your personal goals in life. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. And this points to a very important dogma, very important consideration, and that is, my dear brethren, that ultimately our happiness, our perfect happiness, can be found only in God. And that is the mistake that we so often make. We seek our happiness not in God. We're not rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing in something else. And worst of all, the worst thing of all, my dear brethren, is to rejoice in sin. But sin and these lesser goals cannot give us complete happiness or true joy. Oh, they'll give pleasure. They'll give some satisfaction. But guess what? The human heart keeps seeking more. Isn't it amazing to you that the world's millionaires and billionaires always seem to want more? And many of them are among the unhappiest people of all. And why is that? Because, my dear brethren, our hearts were made for God. As St. Augustine said, our hearts were made for Thee, O God, and they are restless until they rest in Thee. I'm sure you sense at times the emptiness of life, that pleasure cannot fill your heart to complete satisfaction, that material things cannot fill your heart, that worldly goals cannot fill your heart. There's only one person that can truly fill your heart, and His name is God. I happened to be discussing this point with somebody recently and pulled out a philosophy book to examine or explore this theme. It was a philosophy book written by a Catholic priest, and he's talking about man's final destiny, our purpose in life. And this is even apart from what the Catholic Church teaches. You see, in philosophy, we just use the power of human reason to examine things, ideas, concepts. And there was a very interesting point that the priest made in discussing man's final destiny. And this is it. He said, no matter who the person may be, his will is made for God. Translation or explanation of that. No matter who you are, your will was made to rest in God. And why is that so? Because God is the Creator. He brought this whole world out of nothing, and everything is for Him. whether it be some inanimate planet or star that we haven't even discovered yet, it exists for God. Every plant is made for God's glory. Every animal exists for God's glory. As a matter of fact, plants, animals, and all of inanimate creation, just by the fact of their existence, they are glorifying God. They are fulfilling their purpose. It's when we get to humans, that's where we run into problems. And the problem is that we make wrong use of means at times to get to God. Again, we cannot help the fact that we are made for God. And it doesn't matter, the most atheist or a secular person, he can say, I will set up other goals, I will set up other fulfillment in life for myself. It's not going to work, because that person was made for God. So free will, which we all have, designates, or it's free will that ends up choosing whether to use means that take us to God or means that take us away from God. And that's where the choice lies. We do not have a choice insofar as what our final destiny is. That has already been made for us by the very fact of our creation. Our choices are, do we want to move towards it or do we want to move away from it? That's our choice, and we do it every single day of our lives. It's a profound thought. So, my dear brethren, your true happiness, your true joy, you'll find it in God. You won't find it perfectly in this life. You'll find it only in the next. And that is what it's all about, to be with God. You know how imperfect people's ideas are of heaven sometimes? You know, if they like to ride horses, their idea of heaven is riding this beautiful horse through the hills and valleys of heaven. Or I'll get to eat my favorite food. Or I'll enjoy my favorite pastime. Maybe it's baseball. My dear brethren, these are so imperfect. They're even ludicrous, really, when you compare them to what it's really all about. It's seeing infinite beauty, infinite goodness. To illustrate, what if we put a penny next to $1 trillion? Which one looks better? And even that is a very poor comparison, because God is infinite beauty, infinite goodness, infinite wealth, everything infinite you can think of. So rejoice in the Lord. And again, I tell you, that's where real happiness is found. Don't misuse your free will by making use of bad means, things that lead you away from God. And I think that illustrates, of course, the horrible nature of the punishment in hell. The soul was created for God, and for all eternity, this person will not have it, because he or she was made for something infinitely beautiful. And you see, it's not selfish on God's part to say, you're all created for me. It's actually God's goodness. God is pouring it out, saying, I want you to enjoy me. You have no right to it, but I will give it to you. This is what I want your fulfillment to be. So even in this life, my dear brethren, we have to seek God, even though we cannot see him. We have to live by faith. But in that sense, heaven begins now. You can't have heaven later on, or somebody cannot have heaven later on if they make God something to do at the bottom of their list. How can a person like that be welcomed by God. Oh, okay, you put me last in life here. Here's your eternal reward. It would make no sense. So the closer we can get to God, the more we do His holy will, the more we seek Him, the more we love Him and serve Him, the more we try to be like Him by living a life of virtue, to that degree we will enjoy Him in heaven forever. It is difficult to know, love, and serve God. We have great enemies, as we know, leading us away from God, the world, the flesh, our own selves. We're our greatest enemy. And then we have the devil, all trying to pull us away from God, all trying to tell us, seek your joy somewhere else. And St. Paul's saying, no, rejoice in the Lord. So we need help, my dear brethren, and this is where prayer comes in, and this is also where, of course, devotion to Our Lady comes in. We are weak, frail sinners. That's who we are, all of us in this church, everyone in the world, weak, frail sinners that tend to move away from God, that seek their own selfish goals, instead of knowing, loving, and serving God and loving one's neighbor. So through prayer, humble, unremitting prayer, we get the help we need to turn to God, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him. And we also have to, as St. Louis Marie de Montfort points out so beautifully in his book, True Devotion to Mary, reach out to Mary. Dear Blessed Mother, help me. I am so poor spiritually. I'm so weak. I'm so caught up in the worldly things. Help me. And yes, the best way to the Son is through His Mother. I want to share a story with you that I told yesterday on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You can see here the roses that we presented to Our Lady. And of course, roses is very much the theme of Guadalupe. Our Lady gave roses to Juan Diego to put in his tilma. And of course, not only the miracle of the roses, but especially the miracle of the tilma, still existing nearly 500 years later. And instead of Our Lady giving us roses, we gave her roses yesterday to honor our Heavenly Mother. And I want to share a story that I heard. I was listening to Father Anaya give a short sermon one day to the school children. He was talking about motherhood and also relating it to Our Lady, as I recall. And he was talking about his sister. He's got, I think, three sisters. They're all married, I believe. This is talking about a particular one. And when this particular sister became a mother for the first time herself after being married, she realized more than ever before what her own mother meant to her. She began to understand in a deep way, the sacrifices, the love, all that her mother had done for her at that point. And you know how it is. We tend to take it for granted what our fathers and mothers do for us. But when she became a mother, it hit home. And what she began to do every year on her birthday, this is Father Anaya's sister, from that moment on, every year on her birthday, she presented flowers to her mother. You see, by becoming a mother herself, she understood better and appreciated more her own mother. And I hope and pray, my dear brethren, that in a spiritual way that happens to us, that something hits us someday, where we realize what our Heavenly Mother has done for us. You know, we grow up taking it for granted that Mary has been praying for us, looking after us as the best of mothers, interceding for us, mediating for us. And I pray that one day something will hit you, as it hit, as so to speak, Father and I, a sister, to use it in a human analogy there. Or maybe it won't be something very dramatic, maybe it'll just be a growth, a gradual sort of thing. And one day you just have this awareness, you know what? I have been neglecting my Heavenly Mother. I have been taking her for granted. I don't do anywhere near enough of what I should be doing for her. And that will be a great grace in your life, because it will bring you closer to your Heavenly Mother, her who said to Juan Diego, "Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not in the crossing of my arms?" Please read the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it will melt your heart. It will be part of the grace that you need to start appreciating your Heavenly Mother as you should. And by growing closer to Our Lady, by having that move your heart, what your mother has done for you, she will bring you necessarily and quickly and speedily to the heart of Christ. Again, the surest way to the Son is through His Holy Mother. A blessed remainder of the holy season of Advent to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.